it's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
On the campaign trail!
You make it sound so much more exciting.
Is it not exciting?
Can you announce every campaign day for that for me like that, Mikey? I'd really appreciate it.
Well, I see the pictures and you're smiling. It looks like you're having a great time.
Well, you know what? It's not my revolution if I can't dance.
Oh,
saying.
I can relate to it. Yeah, cool. Good vernacular. Yeah, cool. That sound with the kid. Hey, you've got a new package out, haven't you, Labor? You've announced a
our fiscal package.
Your fiscal package, but also some big changes if you get into government to the way that we treat cancer in this country, or certain people anyway.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, that comes from, you know, a really personal connection to the issue from Andrew Little. So I don't know how many people know that he had prostate cancer some years ago. And in fact, he often tells the story that he was diagnosed when he was president of the Labor Party and ended up being treated with those little nuclear beads that they use. So, yeah, in breach of our anti-nuclear policy for quite some time, walking around as Labor Party president, beaming out radiation. But he's recovered and now holds quite a personal view on making sure that people access cancer care wherever they are when they need it. But that's part of his wider commitment to health, improving health generally.
I saw you getting grilled on The Nation by that jumpy lady that does The Nation.
Good description for that.
It's like she's been waiting all weekend to ask those questions, and she really was trying to get you on stuff on your fiscal package. But it was pretty watertight, isn't it? You've got your plan. You haven't knocked it together just on the fly.
No, we have not, and we've had it checked over by, by economists as well. And you know that you've locked onto something, although you feel a little bit unwell about it, when the taxpayers' union even come out and say it adds up.
What's your? I was going to ask you what your opinion of the taxpayers' union was, but that's not going to happen, is it?
On the taxpayers' union. I mean, they're a political lobby. They have a conservative political lobby. Yeah.
Who are the most powerful lobbies? You know, political lobbies in the country. Do you think? Who really have the most swing?
Yeah, I mean, probably the ones that have a really solid, consistent voter base behind them, realistically. Thankfully, New Zealand is not a country where you have those large paid lobbies, like as you do in the United States, for instance. So, you know...
Well, maybe not paid, but, you know...
But I'd say still
Todd Barclay paid... What? Sorry, what?
Yeah, it depends on the party. You know, I guess they're probably... groups like Grey Power and Federated Farmers and New Zealand, you know, ones that get coverage and that are listened to by the media for their perspective, probably have a bit of sway. But it really depends on the party because, you know, regardless of a position a group might take, most of us still stick to our guns on what we think is the right thing to do.
It's winter at the moment, and we have the usual. Oh, it's very busy at the City Mission, and we talk of the homeless as we have been for a wee while. But it's actually and as disgustingly flippant as people can be about it, it's ramped up to an alarming number now. It turned out that's grown by 40% in the last year. The official list for social housing has grown by 40% in the last year. That's just so many people.
It is staggering. And you know, I really take...
In a year.
You know, that's right. And when you hear groups like the Salvation Army, who've been doing this work for a while, say it's the worst they have ever seen it, you know, I really, you know, that I listen to that because they know. But... For us, it's just about what's the fastest response that we can provide. You know, we're spending $140,000 a day, the government is spending on motel units, basically, to house people. $140,000 a day. And 30 times the families they anticipated needing those grants are using them. And we've known this for a while. You'll remember even last winter, the government was having to buy up hotel or rent out hotel units. So
it's 40% more than that now.
Yeah, exactly. And so we just have not responded at the rate that we needed to deal with it. And so we need to be investing in emergency housing. But ultimately, no one wants people to long-term to be reliant on motel units. We need we need state houses. And the fact that the government net, taking into account the ones that they've built, sold 2,000, or more than 2,000, but that's what we're down. We're down 2,000 state houses. So that just seems crazy to me.
The I mean, it's obviously a, there was it's been something's gone wrong a fair way back, I guess. You know, I mean, finding them accommodation tonight is everyone, all those families will have been through a really dark patch, I'm sure, to get to that place, you know. As an opposition, I guess you're looking for the holes. Is it something that this the national government's done in the term before?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for the solutions as well. I mean, last couple of weeks ago, I visited a kind of an emergency social housing provider, and, you know, there was a family in there. He was in full-time work. They were in full-time work, but they cannot find a rental property that they could afford, and that's a big part of the issue. You know, this housing crisis has had a knock-on effect of rents having, over the past 8 years, gone up 40%. So sometimes it's just not being able to find affordable housing. There are a range of things that we could have done about this. You know, addressing that housing crisis earlier, not selling state houses, but instead building. So we anticipate we could probably at least build 1,000 a year, and then probably supporting emergency housing providers, because they've only really seen government come in and start supporting some of their bed space in about the last, what it would have been, the last year or so. There's a lot we could have done.
Do people need to get paid more? Now. Across the board,
too low in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely they are. You know, and that's housing, the measure of housing affordability is a relative measure against, you know, incomes. And that's a big problem for us. Our costs of housing have just outstripped increases in incomes, which on average, the majority of people were getting around 2% increases. And when rents go up 5 a year, they're just not keeping up.
See, I think that, like you were saying before, that, you know, looking for solutions, but we've got to find the reason for it as well. Because otherwise, you're just going to keep having to patch over the solutions.
The minimum wage can go up. So we've said that. We also think that the government, you know, we employ a lot of people. You know, government employs, directly, you know, a large number of people through our schooling system, people who are contracted to come in as teacher aides or who work in as funky workers and in health, they should be earning a living wage. And that's one way that we can start using our role as an employer to be responsible and model the kind of wages that the rest of New Zealand should be seeing.
What about the news today that 2/3 of teachers are prepared to quit Auckland, to move out of Auckland? That's a freaky statistic.
It is, you know, but last 2 weeks ago, I was door-knocking one street, and that issue came up twice. In Mount Albert alone, during the by-election, 7 teachers lost in across the schools, mostly to Tauranga. And you can see why. You've got a fixed income, and you've got really expensive housing, and so your quality of life just isn't as good as everyone else. So
it's not like you're going to have a couple of big jobs come in. You know, you're basically growing young New Zealanders.
Yeah,
you're expected to do that properly and on a very, very sort of meagre wage.
Yeah,
with the cost of living just skyrocketing around you. So, of course.
And one of the things that we've been thinking about, of course, back in the day we used to try and entice teachers and police officers to small rural areas by providing housing. Now I think we're in the reverse situation where our urban areas are less attractive.
I know a school in Auckland that's already buying houses to house their teachers, which is smart thinking and ahead of the curve and, you know, getting things done. But that's ridiculous, though.
Yeah, it is. And some are even talking about, nurses in Auckland, there are still nurses' hostels. So maybe that's why we don't hear that as much, I'm not sure. But we've been thinking about using things like our Kiwi Build program as a way of providing a bit of housing specifically for people who are working in health and education particularly.
It's something that there needs to be a solution, so we don't have to continually find solutions.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the plan this week, Jacinda?
Proactive. Yeah.
What's the plan for you this week?
This week I'm in the office for a couple of meetings, one with a domestic violence group called Backbone, who are doing awesome work. Then I fly down to Wellington this afternoon. I'm giving a lecture, Peter Fraser Memorial Lecture, on arts and culture in New Zealand and what Labour's going to do about it.
Cool.
So I'm thinking about maybe I'll live stream it for all 20 people who want to hear me talk about it.
Good idea, may as well. Can't hurt.
If anyone wants to listen.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Jacinda. Lovely to talk to you. We'll talk to you again this time next week. Jacinda Ardern, Deputy Leader of the Labour Party.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.